It's HBR and All Things Considered. I'm Dave Lawrence, and good to have you with us. We are getting a visit from a band that have been coming to Hawaii for some time, Maxi Priest, and they're through Saturday at the Blue Note, taking just a few minutes to talk with us on All Things Considered. A big aloha, mahalo, and maximum respect, my brother.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here.
It's great to have you here. Now, you've played Hawaii many times over the years. I remember seeing you at the Waikiki Shell, for instance, last year at the big Ocean Aid event. What are memories or experiences that you've had in the state that stick out?
Oh, my gosh. Some of the places, I probably can't remember the names, but I've been around pretty much all the islands. Tom Moffat? Yeah, Tom Moffat. Moffat.
The late, great Tom Moffat. That's great of you to bring him up. What about him?
My great friend used to bring us over here, you know, and take us all around all the other islands and stuff. We had such a wonderful experience traveling all the different islands and meeting all these great people. And, you know, I was a lot younger then and thinking, wow, I never ever thought I could actually reach this side of the world. And then to have the appreciation for my music or my work is something else.
Riffing on that, playing all over the world, reggae is a universal thing. But here in Hawaii, think about the connection that this state has to reggae.
Well, I tell everybody, you know, Hawaii is like home, and especially because of the music, the way they adapt or love reggae music is something beyond special. As you said, I've traveled all around the world, and reggae gets a lot of respect and a lot of vibes, but the consistency of the major radio stations in Hawaii that play reggae music is just, a lot of the other countries have a, you know, there's a slight, the scale doesn't tilt the same kind of way.
And it's certainly an unusual thing. You just came from Asia. So as we continue this examination of how reggae has footholds in different parts of the world of different levels, one place I saw that you went to was China. What's your fan base like there, and how was that experience? I understand it was the first time.
It's my first time. So to say what the fan base is like, all I know is that we had two pack houses. They enjoyed themselves, you know, they rocked. To actually say what the fan base is in China, I mean, how many billion people is there?
Must have been a trip looking out in the crowd, huh?
Yeah, being in the business so long, it brought me back to when I first started out and came to somewhere like Hawaii, just amazed by the reception. You know, here's China 30 years down the road, but almost like a new beginning.
Right, another, I get it, what you're saying. It's reminiscent of coming here, because it's like, for you as an artist, it's another new territory you're going, and it doesn't happen every day, and when it does, it's sort of a special feeling, right?
Is that what you're saying? Not sort of, it is.
It is, right, yeah. It's a conquering sort of feeling, like, here I am, my stuff is now definitely working in yet another place.
Yeah. I can't wait to go India.
You haven't done that yet?
I haven't done India, even though I know that I have a large following over in India. But I don't know, for some reason, all the time that we've supposed to go, for some reason or another, it
didn't materialize. Yeah, that is the other part of this business. The routing. Earth, Wind, and Fire comes to Hawaii every other year. But there will be other bands, they'll never come here their entire career.
Exactly. It's strange.
Yeah. Before I forget about it, on the note of the China thing, I'm just thinking of a couple. I remember Stones, Metallica. Sometimes you read that the band were either approached by the authorities, or the authorities in China wanted to review their set list, the material, the lyrics that were going to be said. Was any of that a factor with your thing?
Yeah, we did. They combed through all the lyrics, all the title of the songs, and we had to send that ahead. And then they went through all the lyrics, and then they told us this, we can do this, and that.
Yeah, well, that does happen. That's what I was reading with both of those bands I named. I just think it's fascinating, just about any band you would imagine. I mean, that's a different market, man. They're really taking a tight look at the stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to ask one more question, because if I don't ask this one, I'll be mad at myself for not asking it, because you've been really generous with your time. But Roberta Flack. When I was a little kid, I remember she came and my mom was going to see her. I was like, oh, I want to go to that. She's like, this is for adults. And I always remember that. And I thought, Man, I have to imagine that was a huge moment for you.
Oh, big time, big time. When you speak of Roberta Flack, that's like one of the bricks that, you know, helped to build the house of music.
For you to get to do a collaboration, explain how it happened. Give us a little storyline.
Well, it was funny. I mean, she called the house and she said, this is Roberta Flack. I didn't answer the phone. My sister answered the phone. And my sister goes, Max, there's a woman on the phone says she's Roberta Flack. And I was like, what? You know, so we're going back and forward with it. So I picked up the phone and I says, hello. And she says, hi, Max. You know, this is Roberta Flack. And I paused for a minute and I was like, and then she said, she asked me if I would be interested in doing this duet. I was just thrown, you know, and then to be able to work with her and Arif Martin was magical, you know. Arif, during this time we were recording the track, he took me to his house, he cooked for me, and you know, and I saw some Grammy Awards from early 60s. It was just amazing. It's a part of my career that will stand the test of time. Yeah.
You record together at the same time?
Yeah, we did. It was really amazing, you know, because she's effortless, you know. She's effortless. When she sings, it's like what you have to think about, she just does, you know.
And what a tribute to you, though, dude. She called you. It was her idea.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even actually remember how I did. I really react like that, or, you know, I knew I had a reaction of surprise, but I can't remember exactly my full reaction.
You were shocked, though.
But I know I was really, really surprised. And then I was more surprised when I had to go meet her. And then even more to the fact that she came to the house. You know, and then my sister cooked. And
she, your house.
Yep. And she helped with the cooking and everything. Like that.
You remember what you guys ate?
Chicken and rice and peas. And some Jamaican ackee and swordfish. And, you know, traditional. And, you know, we had a wonderful conversation about, you know, obviously Jamaica culture and stuff like that. And her and some of her crew came over, and it was, as I said, you know, it's a time that will stand the test of any time for me.
Pillar experiences in one's life. It's great of you to share. I really appreciate that you take the time to just reminisce with me. I love seeing the smiles that come on your face on some of these topics. It's Maxi Priest in town through tomorrow night at the Blue Note. And hope you had fun today. This is a lot of fun for me.
Oh, man, I had a ball, and we're going to go do it again. Hey, what up? Aloha, everybody. This is Maxi Priest wishing you a happy, healthy afternoon. And you will all remember when I was a guest on this show, All Things Considered, with my friend David Lawrence.